Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I've got a great guest for you today, Marty Ray. And Marty Ray Project is an indie artist that will always be an indie artist. He has amassed a fan base of over 1.2 million fans and 200 million views across all social media platforms. As he would say, I'm just a guy that God put out here to sing and write songs. And some people seem to like him. Marty is also an actor that has co-starred in TV shows like The Detour on TBS, Zoo on CBS, and Preacher on AMC. He has acted in various films as well. Before he accomplished anything in music or acting, though, he had a podcast. Back when podcasts received barely any attention and few people knew what they were, he was podcasting. He's now writing an article for a publication that highlights indie artists like himself on top of everything else happening in his world. Needless to say, anything in entertainment, he's up for it. It's my pleasure to welcome Marty to our show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it, Belinda.
Yeah, absolutely. So Marty, let's just dig right in here and let's talk a little bit, fill in some of the gaps of this bio. Tell everybody a little bit more about you, a little bit about your journey and in life today.
Man, I hate that question. I'm just a guy that came out of the womb singing, and I was thought it was what God put me here to do, but other people told me it wasn't for years, and that held me back. And fast forward until I was 22, I think, around there, that I got an Apple MacBook, started recording myself, and made a video, and God showed me he had other plans, so here I am.
That's awesome, and you've done really well. Like, your songs have really gone viral, and you've got quite a big fan base.
It's pretty. I'm happy for everybody that I'm happy and thankful for every single person that has become a fan and has supported me. And it is a big following. It's really incredible to think about that many people care about what I'm singing. So,
and how do you think that happened? Because I know a lot of people would love for their songs to be heard by 1.5 million people. But what do you think contributed to that?
Well, it wasn't just music. I wasn't just only doing music, but I've had a couple of prank call videos that have gotten 30 plus million views as well. So it's just being yourself online. I know it sounds cliche, but I don't have anything to hide. So I just, whatever I find funny, whatever I find cool or moving, I post it typically. So sometimes people like it, sometimes they don't. As far as any tips, I'm not the best with tips, but I will tell you that things that I did early on and still do, I didn't know they were actually helping me until recently, but I was always highly engaged with my audience. Every comment, every message, I was always the one answering back. I still am. I'm always answering my people back and talking to them myself and things like that on all my social medias. So I would encourage, I do that just because I love those people and I'm thankful that they're not just numbers to me. So I love them all and they mean so much to me. And I would encourage everybody to do that. But on the tip side of it, apparently that helps your reach as well. Mm-hmm. If you do that. So I wouldn't encourage anybody to do it because of that though. That's pretty low. If you comment just because, if somebody comments on your post and they're interested and they love you and they're supporting you and you only comment because it's helping you, that's pretty selfish in my eyes, but it is what it is. It does work. So
thanks for sharing that. You know, it's something I've always done as well. And for those exact reasons, like some people will say, you know, you don't have to do that, but it's like, and it takes you a second to click like if somebody actually takes the time to comment, but it takes just two more seconds to write thank you. I appreciate you. Thanks for your input. Like, whatever. Just you can have some different lines, but I just have always done that, you know, because one, I'm very grateful for the people that follow me, but I also do know that it does help for reach when you actually don't just like something. It's like a real conversation. And it's something I like last year when we were doing all our marketing, a marketing agency that I was using said, wow, you've got incredible engagement on this. And they're like, it's because you're commenting on things. Like, they were shocked by it. I'm like, that's what you ought to be doing for people that are following you. So I'm with you on both sides of this. It's like, it totally works. But at the same time, you should be doing it because you have an attitude of gratitude for the people that are following you.
Right. I kind of wish that didn't help you at all. Like, I wish that wasn't something that helped people, because even now that I know it, sometimes I get caught up and I'm thinking, am I doing this because I love these people, or am I doing this now because I know that I have to get this video seen? But it truly started and has always been, and I still think of it as I'm doing this because I do love all those people. But it's weird when you find out, then you start questioning your own self. Now, am I doing it now because of that, or because I've always done it even before I knew that? So it's just weird. I wish it didn't help at all, so that people would either comment or not comment. And then you could tell, because even some of the fans, they know now, you know, they're kind of savvy. So they know that most people are commenting to them because it helps the algorithm. But my fans know that from the very start, when I had nothing, I was talking to all of them, and I do in the messages. Now, commenting, answering them in the messages does nothing for the algorithm. So anyone that's ever messaged me, they've always heard back from me. So
absolutely. It's so funny. I had a lady doing it one night. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was just getting into bed, and I saw a bunch of things come through, and I thought, you know, I haven't gone to bed yet. I'm going to look at this really quick. So I answered her questions, and she was going fast. She was typing faster than me. And then she said, I know that this isn't a real person. This is just a bot. And then I wrote back and said, no, it's me. I just crawled into bed and you type faster than me. And then she said, I'm so sorry. All of a sudden it was like, she changed how she was approaching this customer service question. And, it is funny how we can sometimes become really just responsive in the way we do things and don't realize there's a real human being behind everything that is actually, you know, engaging with you.
Yeah, I've had a similar situation, not because of a bot, but not them thinking I was a bot, but people like haters, like people hating or something. I always comment back to everybody, so I see those too. And I always comment something back. I say, hey, man, I appreciate you listening. Regardless, I really do. I mean that. And I wish you the best. And then that you just really just wreck those people. They go, oh, I never thought you'd see this. I'm so sorry. And I really do love this music, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, well, man, I encourage some of those people. I say, man, you got to know that you ain't going to hurt my feelings at all. But there's some people on YouTube and on Facebook and such that they're living on every comment, and they're very, very fragile minded people at this particular state. And you could really drive them over the edge, and you should be very careful just thinking nonchalantly, throwing out hateful comments like that.
I know it is. My daughter acts and there's this, there's this rendition of this musical that is online, and she's 14 at the time that she did it, and she's playing Dorothy, and it was so good. But people are like, oh, I hate her accent. Like, they're so mean. And she was getting a little upset about it, and she's like, do I really sound like that? And I'm like, honey, these people have nothing better to do. Like, you gotta let that go. Like, you did a fantastic job, and look at all the other, you know, thousands of people that are saying what a great job that you did, and you just can't focus on these one or two people that have no sense to understand your 14-year-old girl. Like, people are people are horrible sometimes and they don't really think that, like, they would never say that to your face. That is the point. They would not ever say that to your face.
There's actually a YouTube video that everybody should watch. It's very eye-opening. And it's a study they did to see what people would say if they thought not the person would never hear them and what they would say to their face. So what they did was they had a room of people, young people, and because it's usually young people that are making comments on YouTube, whether bad or good. But there's not a lot. I don't think there's a lot of adults. There's a few, but I don't think there's a lot of adults that are literally living on YouTube to make hateful comments. I don't think that's happened. But nonetheless, they had these four or five teenagers watch a woman singing, and they said, "Now give us your honest opinion about it." She'll never know or whatever. And they just really destroyed this lady. Like, it was horrible things. And then they had the lady come in and she asked them directly what they thought about it. And it was always like, "Hey, you know, keep working at it. And I think you'll be okay, you know, whatever." And then they told them that what they were doing, they were like, "It's weird how different you feel when you actually know they're going to hear you. It's definitely different. You know, your comment or your review or whatever is kind of sprinkled with a little sugar, even if it isn't the best comment, meaning even if you're not just saying, "Hey, I love it," you say that you hate it, but in a different way, you know, instead of saying, "I hate this."
Right. You know, I've done book reviews for forever. That's something that I do. And I never write a bad book review. I write awesome book reviews when it's awesome. And I write a good book review when it's, you know, got merit, because I think of every single person that wrote that book. It's painstakingly, it's difficult. It like takes hours upon hours and of work and editing. And it's like, every single book I read, I'm like, there's a gold nugget in here somewhere. There is a piece of advice I can share in here somewhere. And so just focus on what's good. And because I'm not going to write anybody a bad book review, or I just won't do the review at all, because I just think that's just not very kind. Like, I might write awesome book reviews, but I'll write good ones if there's something in there. And I think that's, you kind of go in going, what's the good in this? But anyway, moving on, let's talk about skill sets. What do you think has really contributed to, like, your superpower of helping you own your own business?
Man, my superpower. I wish I had a superpower. The main contributing factor is consistency, for sure. And, of course, always God at the forefront. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be anywhere, because he's literally the reason, the only reason that I have the gifts that I have and the ability to have people's eyeballs on them and ears on them. So, because I didn't know anything in the beginning at all when I had my first viral video. I had no tips, no nothing, just out here working a normal job, or actually just working for my father, and just made a video. And I didn't know it was going to go viral, and it did. And after that, I was like, well, I guess I'm going to keep doing this, making videos. And those videos turned into other things, and that music turned into other things. Next thing you know, I'm performing with Vanilla Ice, and I've made all these connections that are just out of this world. They're crazy connections that I have, that I've made over my career. Really a short career, not a super long career when you look at it in the spectrum of other people that have been doing this their entire life, and they've not even achieved some of the things that I have. And it's, I really do attribute that to me keeping God first. So I think God honors effort. The contributing thing is just be consistent and love on people. That's it.
Great. Now, you said you haven't been as long at this as other people. So you said at 22, you kind of decided you were going to move down this path. So how many years are we talking about you've been working at your craft?
Well, 22, I didn't say I didn't start saying, well, I'm gonna start doing music at 22. God just showed me my voice at 22. Okay. Because I was able to record myself when other people were saying singing ain't for you, you need to do something else, or it's not realistic, all these type of things. I actually started thinking it could be a viable career. I don't know what age I was, but I've been doing this for, I guess, about 10 years, maybe 11. Okay. I don't know.
That's what I was looking at. Because you know what? I love the whole consistency factor. A lot of people just think it's an overnight success, and they're really there's never an overnight success. There was lots of years and work that went behind it. So I just want to make sure our listeners, you know, get a sense of here's 10 years, but it's being consistent, having a tremendous amount of faith, and gratitude. That's what it sounds like has been the forefront of everything you're doing.
I'm still trying to find success. So
that's right.
Let me know if you find it.
Well, that's what I always tell people. You're only as good as the gig you did yesterday. Like, there's never really success is a journey. It's just the next stepping point in your journey of success. And so I think that's the healthiest way to look at it, because we can always learn. We can always grow. We can always get better. We can always have new opportunities that are presented to us if we're continuing to move forward.
Yeah, your past achievements are just fuel for your future ones. That's the way it is in life.
That's right.
Because if you live on your past achievements, you're living in the past. So,
absolutely. Absolutely right. So we've talked about a couple of the highlights working with Vanilla Ice. Let's talk about an obstacle or a challenge that you faced and how you worked through that.
The biggest challenge, and I say this all the time, the greatest challenge for any independent artist or actor or creator of any kind is corporate algorithms. So that's the biggest challenge for you and me and anyone else that doesn't have millions of dollars behind us and a corporation behind us. And I shouldn't say you, because you might have one. I don't know. You might be a multimillionaire for all I know, but nonetheless, that's the biggest challenge for anybody. Even if you're a millionaire, it's still a challenge, because there's many record labels and people like that that are constantly trying to battle the algorithms. But the ultimate thing is to stay up to date, or either stay up to date on the algorithm or find somebody that is and just pay them. And I haven't done that yet. I probably need to, but I haven't paid anyone yet to actually help me with anything social media wise, but I probably should. I think there's a lot of people that all they do is study algorithms of different social medias, and they very, very smart, and they have a lot of strategies. And if you're a creative like I am, learning an algorithm is the most boring thing that you could possibly think about doing. And I do know certain things, but I'm not always up to date, because it's always changing. So I would say the biggest challenge is always an algorithm of every single social media, because my whole career is literally just social media. I wouldn't have anything, because I don't want to sign a record deal. So I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for that.
There you go. Well, here's what I think about that. So, I do use people that help with that, because you're right. I don't want to spend my energy using my time and using my creativity and using my talent in order to do those things. But I will say this to you, and I feel like I did the same thing, and anybody listening, I think it's important for you to find your way first and then enhance what you're doing, because there are too many people out there that will take advantage of you saying they're going to do something, and they're not going to get you further than your own effort, your own creativity, your own engaging with, like you said, your fans. Like, all of that stuff is going to get you to that starting point, and then it's building off on that by getting someone that can help you. But you said it yourself, and this is what I think for everybody to keep in mind. There are people who specialize in this, and they stay on top of it more. And I use a marketing firm that does that. But even for them, it's a changing, daily changing thing. So it's a constant moving target that that people are trying to follow. And so I do think having some experts that make that their life versus you're trying to create awesome new songs, that's where a good amount of energy for sure. But I think what you've done so far is definitely the way to do it, because somebody just playing with an algorithm is not going to make your fans fall in love with you.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it has to be. You're right. It has to start with you. You should know whatever you can find out on your own, you find it out. But as soon as you figure out an algorithm, like I figured out Facebook, I could post a video back in the day and I could get a million views off of it, lickety split, no problem. And without advertising or anything, I got a million views. And little by little, that changed. So the organic reach of pages continued to drop. And then there were new ways and there's always new things that come up. So I don't have time nor the want or desire to continue to learn, relearn, and relearn every year a new algorithm from a corporation that could care less about the people that actually built their billion-dollar network. So I eventually am going to have to pay somebody. But, of course, I will know at this stage, I will know who knows what. Like, I can tell if they don't know more than me, or if all they know is what I know, then they're not worth my money. So there's a big difference. And I wouldn't go to anybody that didn't have a proven track record either. They got to show me what they've done. And because I've had many people approach me and say, hey, I can do this and I can do that. And I'll say, well, show me your track record. Show me your proof. And we'll talk. And then some people will reach out and they'll say, I can build this. And I'm like, well, you can build it. And why didn't you build it for your own account? Because your account is weak compared to mine. So, I mean, why are you not doing it for your own self if you can do it? And it's just common sense. Mm-hmm. Somebody reaches out and says, hey, I can get you. I've been doing this for years and I can get you 100,000 followers here and there. And we can get your engagement rate wherever. And then you go to their account and they only have 5,000 followers and 3 comments. Then you know they're lying.
Yeah,
right there. Anybody listening, don't fall for that bait. So
that's a great point. I mean, that's just such a great common sense point, but it's one that I think people get excited when they see that someone can do something and they forget to do just basic checks, you know, or ask for referrals, ask for that track record, go look at their own. You're absolutely right. And so those are just common sense things that I think people sometimes get carried away with the excitement of it all.
I also had this one guy one time did that, and I did this just what I just said. I did that, and I said you are talking to the wrong person. I said, if you trying to sell me on something and you can't do it for your own account, then I don't need you. I said, because you can't help me. I said, I would just end up helping you. And then I said, then he sent me a screenshot of all these different verified accounts that were millions and millions of followers. And he said, this is the accounts I've worked on. I said, just because you screenshotted a bunch of accounts don't mean that you are the one that built them. I said, what do you think? I'm a child? Like, you're not going to get me, bro. Like, that's not going to work. You can't just screenshot some random big accounts. You could have screenshotted my own account and sent it to somebody. Anyway, so I would encourage people to be vigilant in their common sense.
There you go. So what does, this is sort of our signature question of the show, but what does working from your happy place mean to you, Marty?
What's funny about that is I literally have a picture on my wall that says, this is my happy place.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So just being, I call my fans projectors, and I call anybody, and I'm a projector, anybody that does something, even if they work a normal 9-to-5 job or whatever they do, that's fine. And that's respectful because we need those people. Somebody's got to do these jobs and I don't want to do it. And I respect the people that will do them. And I used to have to do them, but I think that I like the fact that there's people out there that even while doing that normal everyday job, they will go after something else that's creative. And they say, I don't want to do this job the rest of my life. And then somebody else will come and take that place after they don't have to. And I think that's the way it's supposed to work. So anybody that goes after something creative, like music or acting or writing or podcasting and that those type of things that most people say is a waste of your time or it's just a hobby, but you don't look at it that way. You look at it as a actual viable career opportunity at some point. That's a projector. You go, okay, you're gonna do it and you're gonna make it happen and you're gonna be consistent and keep going. So, and I that's my happy place is being able to create my podcast. I have a lot of awesome, beautiful, awesome guests come on and I get to talk to them, and getting to create music and albums and all these things for a living is just a dream and a blessing from the Lord. So that's my happy place.
That's awesome. So in that, you touched on this a little, but what advice would you give to others wanting to be entrepreneurs?
Well, entrepreneurs, I don't know if I would call myself an entrepreneur, but I guess technically I am, considering I am a brand myself. But as far as business goes and anything that you do goes, my little brother, I'll put it like this. My little brother, who's actually a friend of mine that I actually had a hand in raising, but I call him my little brother. He wanted to make an album. He wanted to do music. And I said, man, go after it and just do it. And I'll tell you, a long time ago, we interviewed Darius Rucker on my podcast. And I asked him that very same question. I said, what advice, not about entrepreneurs. I said, what advice would you give any aspiring artist to get to your level? And the advice he gave was the advice I would give anybody doing anything that had to do with business or whatever you're doing. And he said, just play. So just go after whatever opportunity comes, entertain it. Don't look at any opportunity and go, this probably ain't gonna do no good for me. Or these people ain't gonna help me out. Or these people are too small or nothing like that. He said, no matter what it is, go entertain it and see what happens. Because many times in my life and in his, there were moments that where this person or that person might have been, quote, small at the time, then they blew up and got bigger than even I am, right? And then that helped me out. So you should never look at an opportunity. So I would say, be willing to take the risk, take any risk, because you don't want to lay on that deathbed at the end of the life and have regrets. You won't regret a risk you took. I promise you, you won't regret it. If it's something that's noble and you were taking a shot, I don't think you're going to regret it. I know I wouldn't. So I would say, take the risk, go after it, and just play. Do everything to entertain every opportunity.
Very good. All right. So in closing, what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners would benefit from?
Well, I hope they'll go and download and stream or whatever my two new singles and all the other old albums that I have released, Marty Ray Project, Everywhere Music's Consumed. And I hope that if they do like interview style podcasts, a lot like this one, then they'll check my podcast out. Mine and my buddies, Chris Wallen, who's a hit songwriter. It's called The Marty Ray Project Chats. We have guests from the entertainment world, from all spectrums of it, acting and wrestling and MMA and singing and everything you can think of. So that, and look for the album that's coming out this year. So join the mailing list at MartyRayProject.com and be on the lookout because it's coming.
Awesome. Well, Marty, thanks so much for being our guest today and sharing your insights and wisdom and your great personality. So it was a lot of fun. The interview was fun today. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Belinda. I appreciate it.
Great. And to everyone else, thanks so much for joining in today. If you enjoyed this interview, please leave us a review. That always means so much to both of us. And don't forget to subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place so you don't miss a single one of our awesome interviews. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.